Shalom and welcome back. Today is the seventh shiur in the series on Mesilat Yesharim, Path of the Just, from Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzado. And today we're going to be speaking about the midah of tahorah, of purity. So the next step the Ramchal teaches us after separation, pre-shoot, which is what we did last week, is, meaning after separating from all that which is not a necessity for our existence and service Hashem, there is another level, and that is to purify ourselves. And what do we mean to purify ourselves? We mean to purify our thoughts, to purify our minds. Even before going forward, just think for a moment in terms of the importance of one's mind. As is well known, any form of communication, any form of spiritual experience that a person would have, that experience has to come down to this world. And in order for it to enter this world, it has to first enter through our minds. That means to say that the very power of imagery that our minds have is going to be the very means by which the Holy is going to be revealed through us. If that's the case, what would happen then if that mind, if that power of imagery that exists within us is dirty, is messed, is misguided? It's not going to have that ability to be able to clearly relate to us that which is divine, simply because it itself is not only attached to this world, but buried in it. So going forward, HaTorah hi tikun halev v'hamachshavot. So the idea of purity is the rectification of the heart and the mind. Thoughts. Zeh lashon matzanuhu etzel David shamar, lev tahor barali Elokim. And this is the language that we find by the statement made by David Melech and Tehillim. A pure heart God created for me. V'inyana, and its matter is like this. Shelo yaneach adam makom liyetzer b'ma'asav, el yukol ma'asav al tzad ha'chokhma v'yira, v'lo al tzad ha'het v'ta'ava. So you don't leave any place for the yetzer, any place for desire indeed, and that all the deeds should be done with wisdom, meaning with intent, with direction, with kavanah, and with awe, sheer awe of heaven, and not from the side of sin and desire. Meaning that even that which we do that is permissible, and even that which we do which is not only permissible, but which is absolutely necessary for our existence, that we're not looking to indulge even in that small moment that's just keeping us alive, but rather to fulfill the will of God in all that which we do. So we see that where Prishut is, in terms of holding back to what's necessary, Tahora is the extension into the world of Machshava, into thought and intent. V'zeh afilu b'ma'asim ha'gufnim v'achomrim, the meaning, even doing the physical things that we need to do, shafilu achrei hitnahagu b'prishut, that even after you've gone ahead and you've acted with prishut, you've acted with separation, that you've only come now to take that which is necessary for yourself, adai yitzterech l'tehele v'moshavato, then you're still left though with this purity of intent, shigam ba'otamat asher hu lokeach, so even that which he takes and is necessary for him, he doesn't direct himself towards the pleasures that are going to come from this. But rather that he just directs himself on the side of the deed, on the side of its chokhmah, on the side of how it makes sense and is necessary for him, and how it is connected with his serving of God. So, just like a person needs to purify himself in thought, in the sense, from all that which is wrong, from all that which in the physical realm will bring him to desire of that which is wrong. Because remember, we talked about the idea of nikiyut is already a separation, but it's a separation, I mean a direct separation, I mean not fooling oneself. So here we're not just talking about one's fooling oneself, but not even allowing oneself to come into the possibility of fooling oneself. So this is a double separation, and therefore we can see how this is in this top tier, meaning it's in this next level, in the level of chassid. Just as a quickly going back, if you remember the first three steps that we had talked about, zehirut, zrizut, nikiyut, they all revolved around the concept of being a tzaddik, meaning doing exactly what's right and wrong. Now we're dealing with the idea of being a chassid. We're dealing about going one step beyond the letter of the law. We're talking about doing what God wants of you, not just what He told you to do. So therefore, separation, we already talked about, one step further. Then this idea of Torah is nikiyut, one step further. So we just saw already that on the negative side, meaning of holding back in terms of the relationship of thought, meaning that in all those things which we hold back from, that we hold back from them also, not just, again, to make do with what we have, but to also not necessarily direct ourselves, meaning not to do it for the sheer sake of the enjoyment that's going to come from those few things left that we're actually going to do. So now also on the positive side, see, it positively asserts that the desire of all good things that he's going to do are not to be separate from his Creator. Meaning that everything he does is connected with the positive performance of mitzvot. So just like we saw that the idea of purity can apply to thought in physical deeds, where those deeds are themselves close to that which can be desired, meaning a person has to eat to sustain himself, so therefore he is close to the desire of eating for the sake of enjoyment of eating. So it has to be then that his thoughts, in terms of all of his good deeds, that they should be directed towards the Creator. And they should not be that for a moment that there should be any distancing of these deeds from the Creator, and they shouldn't be done for the sake of his yetzer, meaning for the sake of his own personal desire in fulfilling the positive commandment. For example, comes Shabbat, you sit down to a nice meal with your family. You can sit down to that nice meal with your family with the divine intention that you're here in order to go ahead and fulfill the idea of Oneg Shabbat, of joy that must be performed on the Sabbath. You could think about the idea that the food you're going to eat is going to nourish you in order to be able to do the additional prayer and the additional learning that is for the sake of the Shabbat. Or it could be that a person goes to the meal and says, wow, look at all these great foods, and he just sits down and he rips into them, wow, it's great, he's eating, well, you know, there's no calories there, anything you eat in Shabbat, so you just go ahead and eat as much as I want, not worry about anything. So this is the idea, that even on the positive assertion, or a better example of that, is a person is, again, focusing himself in terms of his intent on the joy that it's going to give to his Creator, that he's fulfilling his will by sitting down and eating this meal, and he's not focusing on the fact that he's going to have a physical benefit or a mental benefit, and, you know, a joy that's going to come just from the satisfaction of his belly being filled. So it's a shift. It's a shift in intent. Not intent for one's own sake, but intent to fulfill the Creator's will. And even higher than that, to bring joy to his Creator, meaning to do for his Creator's sake. So, given that, we see that there are different levels that Ramchal is going to describe in terms of doing something lo lishma, meaning not for the proper intent. So he says, "Ulam kvar nitba'aru divrei chazal sheyesh minim shonim shel shelo lishma." So the Chachamim, they've already explained that there are different types of lo lishma, meaning not for the right intention. Harami kulam, the worst of all of them, hu she'enenu oved l'shem avoda klal, that the entire purpose, the entire intent behind his deed, and again, we're talking about a deed that is correct, but the entire intent behind that deed is not for the sake of fulfilling the deed, meaning for the sake of fulfilling his Creator's will. El Ramot, and this is again, this is the worst possible case, is when a person's intent is not only not to do positive, but to do wrong. El Ramot b'nei Adam, la'viya kavod ha'mamon. In other words, he's just doing this in order to trick people or in order to gain for himself honor and money. I mean, this is a tremendous thing. This is what's said about such a person. Noach lo shenefcha shliato al panaf. So the Yerushalmi Brachot says it would have been better if he would have been smothered in his own placenta. I'd say that that's a pretty strong set of words to be said about anybody. But the situation here is we're talking about misleading people. We're talking about drawing destruction. Now again, the deed he's going to fulfill is correct, but the intents are all wrong. And not only they're wrong, meaning they're not just doing it in the sense of the enjoyment itself, but also to mislead those people around. I mean, in our day and age, this happens to be one of the big yetzers, big desires that exist. But things can quickly go from one step to another. And being tahor, being pure, meaning doing things to the right intent, is essential for long-term success and growth in the service of God. Now, a lower level of negative intent, meaning of low lishma, is when a person does something simply to be able to receive a reward. V'yesh min acher shelo lishma, shehu avoda amanat kabel pras, just to receive a reward. V'alav amru leolam yasok adam b'torah uve mitzvot, v'afilu shelo lishma shemitoch shelo lishma balishma. That it's better for a person that he should spend his life learning Torah and doing mitzvot, even not for the right intentions, in order that from coming from the wrong intentions, you should come to the right intentions. Of course, here we're talking though about intentions that are not to mislead others. Certainly, though, of course, doing this just to be able to receive a reward is far from being complete, is far from being tahor, is far from doing things with the right intent. I mean, in general, it happens to be that this is the particular way that human beings begin their entire process of learning. They start out lolishma. They start out not for the sake of learning in itself. You take a small child, and the first thing you do with that child is you begin to introduce him to various concepts, and you reward him when he goes in the right direction, and by doing so, you begin to develop within him a desire to run after that which is right. So in the beginning, the child is constantly thinking about that little candy or that little toy or whatever else that he's going to be receiving. But eventually, that child, just from the koach, just from the power of having done good deeds, that child will develop an appreciation for what is right. And that appreciation itself will eventually drive that person. So certainly nothing wrong with taking an approach of demonstrating and showing the benefits, the positive outcomes that are going to come from going ahead and running after the Torah and the mitzvot. For the simple reason that once a person is then osek in the Torah itself, once he begins to learn Torah, it will penetrate into his deepest being, it will be metahir. It will go ahead and purify him and change around the way he approaches things. Now, certainly not on a positive note, in a sense. There's a number of organizations out today, for example, that run after people in order to try and convince them that they should join their various cults or whatever else have you. Specifically, no, come, you should join us. It's a must. You have to learn the Zohar. Now, I'm not trying to say that a person shouldn't be learning Zohar. But what I'm saying, though, is there's certain groups like this that go out and they prey on people. And they tell them, no, come control your destiny. You can be in control. You can have the power. Now, certainly this is not exactly the approach that we take as religious Jews. God controls the world. Ultimately speaking, all decisions are His. And you really can't control your destiny. You can do the right things and be rewarded for them, but you don't really have control and power. Nevertheless, this organization goes ahead and misleads people to going after the absolute wrong. Worse yet, they teach them to make use of names of God in all kinds of ways in order that they... Mamash kishuf. To go ahead, and as we talked in another shur that I gave recently, about being subnatural, meaning witchcraft, things like that, meaning using different names and using different things that we find written in the Zohar and the various other holy works in order to be able to subvert nature and make things go that person's way. Whether it's successful or not is a whole other issue. I don't believe that they're seeing any real success. But regardless of the issue, success or not success, one thing though that does happen, and you do see this frequently, is that the occasional person that happens to get into their claws, and the reason I say it's claws is because they're only looking for one thing, and that's money. But for those occasional people that happen to get into it, that happen to really truly want and desire to run after the right thing, revolving around these various cults of this nature, exists also a body of Torah that is not their own, that they've borrowed from elsewhere. And in studying that, and in being Osek in Torah, you see that occasionally that person who came, that person who had better intent, after being Osek in Torah, all of a sudden leaves these organizations and goes on to be functioning, good, wholesome, religious Jews. It's an amazing thing. How could you think from something like this, from an organization that's trying to teach people to control destiny, control others, control this, control that, to be a complete and total eye power trip, and actually go and excel in the right path afterwards? That happens mikoch haTorah. I mean, the Torah itself has that sort of effect, that when they're there, they happen to attach to the Torah, that they've drawn into the dark side, so to speak. But it is Torah. It is a nekuda of light, a spark of light. So Torah has this amazing koach. Whatever it is, that's what we need to attach to. That Torah. Whatever it is that's going to motivate us. So if a person says to himself, listen, I want to have that ice cream bar, but I'm going to finish learning this Perek and Mishnah first before I go ahead and I eat that ice cream bar. So if that's the means that a person in the beginning is able to draw himself, to be able to sit down and connect, to learn, then good. Because ultimately speaking, the Torah itself then will purify him. And the actual true joy and beauty of the Torah itself will permeate that being. Until you can look back and almost think it was so silly that you should actually need to have some incentive. But all of this works, of course, like we said, if your intention is not like the first Lo Lishma, which, as you can see, is like this cult, or like those that are approaching for control and power and misguiding others. So if your focus is on serving God, everything will be all right. But now, in the midst of doing, as you're moving forward, a person has to always be on guard that bad intent shouldn't enter into the midst of good intent. He has to always make sure that nothing impermissible gets mixed in. Because here we're talking about intent, but the actual acts always have to be kosher. Because there are times that a person goes and truly he does a mitzvah, truly for the right reasons, because this is what God decreed for me to do. But he isn't successful in avoiding some other angle getting mixed in with that mitzvah. So what happens is that somebody comes and praises him. He gets some sort of reward in this world. Perhaps he's involved in doing some sort of mitzvah and he gets paid for it in connection with that. So even though he doesn't have bad intentions here, he doesn't care about the shevach, he doesn't care about the money, and he's happy, he has to, though, be very careful. More careful than any other situation, that he doesn't allow these things to penetrate into his intent. That he begins to do things because somebody praised him. How easy is it for a person to be involved in a situation where he's teaching or he's giving over a class and all of a sudden somebody says to him, "Wow, that was so amazing, that was so great," and then he starts to think, "Wow, oh, I must be so great, or I must be so wonderful." Well, all of a sudden it begins to affect the way that that person in the future will then be able to teach. Meaning it's been a mixture of intent, because now he's looking for this alternative praise. So it's a very thing. A person has to be very careful about this. There's a famous story about the daughter of Rabbi Hanina ben Tardion. She was walking in a very nice manner. So she was walking in a very sneeze-take-up way. And all of a sudden, some people, wow, take a look at that young woman, how nice she's walking. And all of a sudden, then she became more particular about her steps. Ultimately speaking, if a person looks into the Gemara and Avodah Zarah there, he finds out that she eventually was punished severely from heaven, something that she accepted upon herself with a tremendous sense of love. Nevertheless, this was the case. Meaning that because she was more careful upon herself, meaning that she took the praises of someone and let that enter into her good intentions, everything was spoiled. The Baal Shem Tov made a very beautiful statement. The statement was that regarding the pasuk Shiviti Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, which is only translated "I place before me always Hashem," that the word Shiviti can also be understood from the root of Shaveh, meaning equal. Shaviti Hashem Shaveh, I have placed all things equal before me, God. Meaning that when somebody praises me or somebody curses me, it's all the same. Meaning that I don't look at the statements of others in relationship to the deeds that I need to do. I don't consider them. Meaning that you keep and maintain the divine intent, meaning fulfilling the mitzvah for God's sake, and you don't allow anything else to penetrate, not good, not bad. Now, deeds that lack purity, that are not tahor, they have value. I mean, if a person went ahead and he did a mitzvah lo lishma, He did a mitzvah without the best of intents. And like I said, you know, the levels we're talking about here, meaning Prishut, Tahara, and Chasidut, these are levels way beyond us. So certainly we're not going to be working on that Madrega, that on a constant basis we're able to maintain this pure sense of thought, this pure sense of intent. And in fact, it's comforting to know that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us most is the deed. But it's the level of intent, it's the level of kavanah, it's the level of proper direction in our fulfillment of God's will that creates the levels, meaning that makes one mitzvah more praiseworthy than the next. So the gauge is the proximity to the goal of absolute pure fulfillment for the sake of the Creator with no personal interest in it. Ve'enenu omer shema shehu zulat ze yenidche legamri. So we're not going to say, like we just said, that if there's a lack of positive intent, that this is going to remove the mitzvah, it's going to all of a sudden push away the positive of doing and fulfilling God's will in action, even with bad intent, or with a lack of good intent, is more proper to say. As we said, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He will reward every individual for every act that they do. But full and proper service that is proper for all those that love Hashem in truth, the ones that want that their service in heaven should be looked at as being pure and complete and total for the sake of the Creator, they do not let any angle in that is not for the sake of Hashem. So Mishu Oved Hashem Be'emet, somebody who's going to serve God in truth, לא יסתבק בזה במועט, ולא יתצא לקחת כסף מורה בסיגים ובדילים. See, a person wants to serve God in truth. He doesn't want to get away with anything. He's not looking to get away. He's looking to fulfill in the best possible way. So it's true, so he may be able to get by with just doing things. Well, God asked me, so I'm going to do it. But that's not enough. As he mentions here, he doesn't want to go ahead. He doesn't want to make use of silver that's mixed with lead. He wants pure silver. He wants everything that he does should be pure and total. He doesn't want any wrong angle in his intents. He wants everything proper with the right motives from start to finish. This is the test that determines and separates those that serve God on their levels. Whoever can purify his heart more, who amit karev yoter, he is the one who is closer, v'ahuv yoter, and is loved more, etzlo yibarach by God. That's the key. See, if in your heart you want to serve God, if in your heart you love God, you want to be as close as possible, and you don't want anything in between you and God, you want your thoughts to be tahor, you want them to be pure, I mean, think about the type of relationship that a person wants with his wife. When he's with his most intimate times with her, does he want that the thoughts of he or her should be someplace else? Or should they be completely and totally focused on each other? With no other thoughts, that there's no one else in the world. This is the relationship. I think I'm back. I was lost for a moment. Alright. Sorry. I think part of the problem might have been that PM was sent in the middle. You might want to try and refrain until after the class to send any PMs. I think that might have messed up my client. Anyways, continuing. That relationship, pure and total between one's husband and wife, this is the relationship you want between you and God. The one who loves God wants everything pure. He doesn't want any foreign thought to exist. He doesn't want any other possible motive in anything he does. He wants it complete. Understanding that, you can see then why the one who is complete and total in his tahara, in his purity of thought, is the one that's closest to God. The heart is the king over all the parts of the body and is what directs them. If he doesn't bring his heart to serve God, any of the other acts of the rest of the body, they're nothing. Ki elasher yeshama ruach halev lechet yelechu, because it's where the heart moves. That's where everything moves. Umikre katu beferush tana beni livechali. So it says in Mishlei, my son, give me your heart. The Perek Yudzayin. So, how do we get there? Well, the first thing is, if you manage to get to this point, if you manage to be able to be zahir, careful about your deeds, and if you manage to be zariz, you manage to be zealous about your deeds, and you manage to be naki, you manage not to lie to yourself, if you manage to go ahead and separate and restrain yourself to only that which you need, you're there. Meaning you've reached tahara. And now you just move forward and you grow in tahara. So meaning if you've got all the midot till here, it's easy, straightforward. If you start thinking about how senseless all the momentary pleasures of this world really are, like I wrote above, not only will you see that they're senseless, you will be disgusted by them. And you're not going to think about them. Think about it simply. A person who becomes a vegetarian, so maybe he loved me his whole life, whatever else have you, you know, he all of a sudden, he through pre-shoot, through separating from me for so long, he gets to a point after a number of years of doing this that if he walks into a barbecue, he's sickened by the smell. No, I can't ever imagine that. But somebody who's been a vegetarian, no, he has such a thought. So if you've separated from all that which is evil and wrong in the world become disgusting to you. You're going to think that all these things that, you know, got to think all these things. How could anybody ever be doing them? It's against the nature. It's against what? It's against everything. I mean, a person will be totally and completely the opposite of it through his separation from it. And when he has solidly placed this in himself and knows the truth of this, and he sees the chesunot varot, and he sees all the various lacks that exist in all these momentary pleasures, it's going to be very easy then for him to remove them from his heart. Meaning, if he goes ahead and he continues on that path constantly, again realizing how everything is hevel hevelim, very quickly it will be easy for him to clear his thoughts and to clear his heart. And he'll look at all these physical things as being nothing more than a burden for him, nothing more than something that he has to do in order to be able to exist. For only, however, so just like we divided up purity into two sections, ha'chad b'ma'asim ha'gufnim v'chad b'ma'asim ha'bodah. So here also acquiring also gets divided into two sides. One is in the physical things and one is in the service. So when we go to use our thought process to develop a sense of purity, there's two parts to that. When he comes to clarify his thoughts regarding all the physical things, is to do exactly what we said before, which is, like I said, is to concentrate on the hevel, how little of value all the momentary pleasures are. To think about where is kavod, where is the person's running after honor going to end up getting him? It's falseness.
What are the deeds that are going to bring a person to this, to acquire this trait of Torah? Hu hazmana lidivrei avoda v'mitzvot. V'hainu, shelo yikenes b'kiyum mitzvah b'peta pitom. So the way a person develops being tahor, being pure, is to not jump into anything. Is to take one's time. Shein dato adayim yushevet alav yechol yitbonen b'mashu oseh. In other words, don't jump in and put yourself in a situation where you haven't taken the time to realize the extent of what you're doing. Meaning, it's taking control of the moment. I'll give an example. A person, coming time for him to pray. If he jumps into it without any preparation, without having taken the time to put on his tefillin slowly, with intent, with positive motives, if he hasn't taken the time, for example, to look at his tefillin before he puts it on, to give it a kiss, to observe its characteristics, to think about how amazing that something so simple can bring us to such tremendous heights, that can link us to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If we didn't take a moment to delve into those thoughts, what kind of intent are we going to have when we finally sit down to pray? Person rushes into any act, how is he going to appreciate it Once you're in the act, you just gotta run with the situation. Only if you've prepared in advance, only if you've taken the time to concentrate and to fully feel the ramifications of what you're gonna do, are you really able to be able to do it with purity. So therefore, the act that we need to do, the actions that need to be done in order to be tahor, aliyazmin atzmo ledavar, he has to prepare himself for everything. Ve'achin libo v'metun ad shekanes bihitbonenut, and he has to direct his heart until he contemplates clearly what he's going to be doing. Va'az yitbonen ma'hu olech lasot, what is he going to do? His name is Hu olech lasot, and in front of who is he going to be doing this? I mean, before God. Because by taking that time and directing oneself, it's going to be easy for him to remove any sort of outside angles into his of improper thought. A person is going to fire an arrow. If he just jumps and shoots, who knows where the arrow is going to land? But if he takes the time to point it, no, then it'll land in its mark. And then he goes ahead and he makes a bullseye in his heart. He goes ahead and he directs it directly to where it needs to be. We know that the early pious people, they used to take a full hour before their prayers. And then they would pray. So therefore they can direct their hearts towards their Creator. They didn't take 1 hour of wasted time. It was an hour of directed thought into the spiritual realm. Alamit kavnim umechinim libam letfila shaya lehem lipalel. They thought about the prayer that they needed to make now. And they removed from them all of the foreign thoughts. And they filled the prayer, they filled themselves with the love and the awe of heaven that was needed. So what then will hold a person back from achieving tahara? Clearly, a lack of thought, a lack of introspection, al inyanim shezachanu, on the matters that we've spoken about. Meaning that everything is hevel hevelim. That all of the ideas of kavod and kina, honor and jealousy, and all these other various character traits lead a person nowhere. By those thoughts, a person achieves tahara, so by a lack of those thoughts, a person is held back from achieving this. When he has a false sense of the smallness of all the momentary pleasures, redifa ta kavod, and he runs after kavod, umiyu ta hachana lavoda, and he doesn't prepare himself to serve. Ki ashnayim arishonim hem mefatim et hamachshava umamshichim ota el hapniyut. As it says, a person should not run after his heart, meaning run after foreign thoughts that have penetrated into him, thoughts for all those things which are not that which God wants from us, and to run after one's eyes, to run after all that which seems like it would be honorable or would bring honor to oneself, asher temzonim achrehem, that they tend to be those things which draw a person. Ki nimsa halev poneh min hamabat hashalem asher hayalu lekasher bo el evalim v'dimyonot kozvim. We know, we've already saw from before, that man's nature in general is to be drawn after that which is momentary and that which is false. To make a cheshbon, to make a calculation of better to have now than to prepare for the future and have then. There's all kinds of sayings in English and other languages, all of the same nature. Better to get the momentary prize than to work towards the ultimate goals. This is certainly not the positive way to be thinking.
ומיעוט ההכנה גורם לסיכלות הטבעי הבא מצד החומר שלא יגרוש מתוכו והוא מביש את העבודה וסיכונו ונבר את המידת החסדות.
So, same thing again, like I said, not preparing is going to make it impossible that once a person gets into the midst of things to be able to deal with things in a straightforward manner. And this actually ends Tahara. It is one of the shorter discussions in the Ramchal. And in the following week, God willing, we'll be dealing with Chasidut, which is probably the longest of all the midot, all the traits that are discussed by the Ramchal. Bezrat Hashem, God willing, each and every one of us should take the time to be able to prepare ourselves before each and every one of those special moments that the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us, meaning opportunities to serve Him, to appreciate each opportunity as it comes to us, as being a gift in itself, and to go ahead and to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu with Torah, with purity, with love and with awe, and God willing, we see Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehrah bimeinu.